JaysOmeShows.com. It's SMS on air. TV talk. I'm Jay. Who else is out there? Say names. I'm not tired of introducing everybody. Come on.
Caroline.
You can do it. There's one.
And Paul.
Where's the other? Paul, I heard you're topless for this episode. Is that true?
Totally.
It's all areolas all the time.
Ah, we didn't even plan that. That's good. I like it.
I know. Wow. It's blinding. He's Irish. His chest is very white, my friend.
Well, that's okay. I still like it. Don't worry about it, Paul. Don't worry about it. All right. Another exciting night of TV talk. And by the way, people that are listening, if you've forgotten, there is a contest going on. If you'd like to try to create a opening montage or something for the show, you can send it to me, jay@somanyshows.com. And if we choose your little sound intro to use, it's worth $100 in gift cards to you. So get on it.
I love that. All get right. Creative, people. Like, get your kids right. Singing, your pets involved.
Right.
Come
yeah,
on.
I don't
get
care. As long as it's cool.
Do
all
it.
Right. Right. And you don't even have to be topless for that.
No.
So how
you
guys doing
right
today?
Up. We're doing well. How are you?
Awesome. Always awesome. I mean, I think so anyway. Anything exciting happen in your lives today before we get into everything?
Oh, my gosh. I told the kids that we were going to be on the radio today, and you guys might not know this, but we're in Houston, and this is rodeo season, and so they got real upset at me, and I was like, what's the problem? They said, we want to go to the rodeo, and I was like, no, please, they said radio. Poor little guys.
That's too funny. Now you have to take them to the rodeo. You see that?
Oh, we're definitely going. We're in a place where the nightly news shows the rough ride of the night. So we watch that every night.
Right.
Which guy got bucked off in a horrific kind of fashion?
Mm-mm-mm. I love Houston,
that's
too.
That's Houston. Yeah.
Fourth largest city in America, people. Fourth largest city in America.
We have a weather dog, and we watch for see who's going to get bucked off of a bull tonight.
That's too funny. I love
it. They all do.
You know, I felt so stupid the first time I went to Houston was, when was that? I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Because I'm afraid to go to Texas because I hear Texas has terrible, terrible spiders. So I waited a really long time before I ever stepped foot into Texas. And I went to Houston, and in my own stupidity, I was like, whoa, there's palm trees in Texas? What the hell is this?
Yeah, totally true. And funny, when you said that you were scared to come because of spiders, that's about the last thing I thought you were going to say. You could have said you were scared of a lot of things, but spiders, that wasn't one. I thought
no, listen,
of, no,
true story.
Cockroaches, true story. Cockroaches here.
No. So true story. I have a very good friend. This is almost 20 years ago now. He is a professional firefighter. He was he signed up for something to go to Iraq or Saudi Arabia or something as a firefighter. And he had to – his pit stop before leaving for the Middle East was somewhere in Texas. I have no idea where now because it's been too long. And he goes there to process. He spends the night in the hotel. He wakes up paralyzed. Why? Ooh. Because he was bit by an unknown amount of spiders that had been hidden behind the headboard of the hotel. Needless to say, his life was a disaster for quite a long time afterwards. And I'm like, never going to Texas.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I've never heard such a tale. And now I'm scared to go to Texas.
Right. So if you guys want to come move up to Maryland, come on up.
Oh, my gosh. Crab cake.
But anyway,
for all.
I did make it to Texas and Houston, and I did love it. So it's okay
well,
now.
Good.
You avoided
what were
any
you
spiders?
Doing here?
A guy that owns a couple of businesses there hired me to come out and consult on a few things. So I spent like 2 weeks there or whatever.
So drugs mostly.
Yeah. I was helping a cartel.
Cartel. Yeah. We understand. You're probably moving some bulls for the rodeo. What has you?
Right. That's the one thing I didn't get to do was any rodeo stuff, man.
Well, this is the season now. You have to come down in spring, like March time is the right time for rodeo. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I guess I have to wait till next year. All right, let's get to some news.
Okay, guys, so tonight I have some really interesting news for you guys. But first, my teaser is, what do you do, boys, when you're hungry and you can't find the clicker to pause the show to order your food? Well, I'm going to give you a solution in just a few minutes. So hold on. Hold on to the end of my segment, okay? But guess what? First, I'm going to give you some renewal news. Do you guys remember Mer, Q, Joe, and Sal? Do these names ring a bell?
Oh, they do for me. Paul?
Paul?
Something about Jokers.
Yeah, they were totally the Impractical Jokers, and they've been renewed for an eighth season. Eighth! Can you guys believe it's been 8 years with these guys?
Unbelievable.
That's crazy. So crazy. And
crazy.
Guess what? Also good news. The Good Doctor is back for season two. Love it.
Yeah.
Have you guys been watching?
I've been waiting for that announcement.
Yeah, I wonder what's behind the scenes there, because, I mean, it's a good reviewed show. It's a good ratings show.
Yeah.
A ratings winner.
Yep.
And this late in the season for renewal is, I don't know, it's seems late for something that came out of the gate so strong.
It really is. And you can tell the popularity of some of the shows by some of the things that we release on somanyshows.com. And Rue, who writes the reviews for The Good Doctor, I swear, some of them get like a bazillion views in 24 hours after she posts them. It's crazy.
Rue sucked me into an entire conversation just the other day. Well, I was like nitpicking different parts of the episode, and her and I were like really sucked into it for like hours. So, I mean, hey, it's a good show, you guys. Check it out. But, hey, I have another question for you guys. Do you know when you're on Hulu and you're watching like an old favorite and you just want to kind of like drop into the season, but you can't really pick which episode, you know, you don't have like a love? Well, check this.
Mm-hmm.
A new Google Chrome extension was designed by this company called Flixt. And it lets you add this random episode button so that you can just jump into, like, any of your episodic comedies, like Seinfeld, say. Paulo, I know that you're all about it.
I'm
that's
always
cool.
Looking for another Seinfeld. I've seen them all, obviously, a billion times. But I have no need to watch them in order. You know, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So right. It takes forever just to randomly pick one.
So would you use this button, do you think?
I think I would. I think I would definitely install it. I think am installing it right now.
Oh my god!
Yeah, no, I would definitely use it too. That's pretty ingenious.
Was that
that's
Flix
awesome.
or how did you spell that?
Yeah.
Flixed. Flixed is the name of the company.
Past tense.
Yeah, like once I flick.
Yeah.
Okay, so listen to this. The CW is debuting a new hour-long fantasy/adventure series for this summer. It's going to be called The Outpost. I don't have any deets to give you yet, but we'll be releasing some information soon.
Very cool.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, very Narnia-esque, yes.
CW tries hard, man. They're trying hard. They're not
and they seem
CW
to love genre stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Fantasy adventure is a hot button area there with I think our Game of Thrones stuff has like blown that whole genre up. So I'm looking forward to it. And do you know what I'm going to watch this new Outpost on, you guys? I can't be watching it on my 50-inch or my 60-inch or my 70-inch TV. But they're going to be bringing out a brand new TV called The Wall this August from Samsung. You guys, do you have a guess at how big this TV is going to be? Make
92.
A guess. Give it to me in inches.
92.
92, says Jay. What do you say, Paul?
84.
Oh, boys, no. It's a whopping 146. 146 inches.
Oh, my God.
That's insane, right?
Man.
Wow. I don't
no wonder
know,
it's called the
do
wall.
We have the wall space, right? I know this is amazing.
You're right. You got to move pictures and bookshelves, and you know, add on an addition. Bring in the drywall. Bring in the drywall.
People are
come
like,
on.
Why do you have an entirely blank wall in your house? You'd be like, no. Let me turn it on for you.
Right.
It just makes your electrical meter like blur in front of your eyes as it goes.
Yeah, no word on cost
man.
Of the actual item nor the cost of operating it. Thus, that could be an extra thing to factor in there. But, hey, back to our teaser statement about what are you going to do when you're hungry and you got to pause the show to order your food. Well, just in time for March Madness, Pizza Hut is releasing in a very limited quantity this totally rad item called Pie Top 2. Pie, like P-I-E. Pie Tops 2. These are custom-made high-top sneakers that, you guessed it, you can order your favorite pizza and pause your favorite TV show. They're totally wearable and 100% real, people. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
There's only 50 available pairs, and they're going on sale mid-March, so y'all better get in line ASAP.
I think I need a pair. I can't lie. I think I need a pair.
Like,
Paul and
I need a
Supreme. You
know,
can you imagine? We were talking about, you know, like, what would be, like, the most insane pairing would be, like, your Fitbit where you're trying to get, like, your 10,000 steps, and then you accidentally order, like, 10,000 pizzas. You can't even know. You're a mess, right?
I'm trying to picture these things. Do they work like the old pump where they have like just like a gadget on the tongue, are they pressure sensitive in another way?
I don't know, but
I'm gonna get a pair. Damn it, I'm gonna get a pair, and
go
I will
for it,
walk
man.
Around and accidentally order pizzas like every 20 minutes.
And you'd just be like, uh-oh, another pizza. I guess I have to enjoy it. Yum yum yum.
Actually, yeah. I like this because, you know, my kids, when they're watching TV and they're ignoring me when I'm talking to you, I'll just be like, let me move my shoelace. Now you have to pay attention.
I love it. We totally do that in the car with a DVD player. Like, I have a control up front. I don't even say anything. I just hit pause, and they both look up and
right.
go, what? What? What?
right. Oh, man.
She's like, we've reached our cruising speed of 50 miles per hour.
Right.
Thank you for joining Air Daily.
Right. Nice. Oh, my Lord. Wow. Yep. I'm getting me some. Look out, world.
Love
I'm coming.
Hey, well, speaking of dailies, we have a daily review update for you.
Ooh, I love those.
That's right. We are expecting to put out two podcasts this week. We had This Is Us last night, so we'll be putting out a podcast for that shortly, as well as the sixth Mrs. Maisel episode, back-to-back pretty much.
Can you do me a favor?
What's that?
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I have no idea what this Miss Maisel thing is about, and I see you keep releasing them. I'm like, I need to listen to one and see what it's about. Can you just give me an idea what is this show about? Why should I watch it if I should watch it?
Okay, the elevator pitch is not everyone's cup of tea. So what makes it good are the performances and the writing. Okay, so here's the elevator pitch, right? A divorcee in the late 50s, a woman decides to pursue a career in stand-up comedy.
Oh.
Yeah. It sounds kind of wonky, right?
It's put out by
Amy Sherman Palladino and Daniel Palladino, who created the Gilmore Girls. And so we knew we had to check it out. And honestly, I was turned off too.
Okay.
Like the little elevator pitch, I was like, oh, that sounds so lame. But honest to God, everything from the set design, the costuming, the dialogue is hysterical. Tony Shalhoub is her dad. And, I mean, it's just spot on. Everything is so funny, so thoughtful. What do you love about it, Paul? Because I'm a gal, so I can love, like, the music and the costuming and stuff. But what really catches you?
I like the dialogue. I like how snappy she is. She's very intelligent and with it. And I like that they have weaved the story into actual history by including Lenny Bruce as one of her contemporaries that she kind of looks to as a mentor a little bit.
Yeah.
And Alex Borstein's in it. So, you know, the voice of Lois from Family Guy, she's one of the leads, and they give her some of the best lines.
And honestly, I mean, we are hard to please. I mean, we will turn shows off. We will walk away from stuff that is no good. We won't hang in there just because we like a particular actor or anything.
Right.
So I can honestly tell you, give it a go. It's unusual because of the time frame, and everything's like a little like extra bright in color and stuff. But it is so well done. So well done. It won so many awards this season.
And this is Amazon, right? It's an Amazon production or
it's
show,
an Amazon
right?
production, right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so you got
to
check it out.
I
know it's odd. And I have to tell you, too, it is not for our G-rated watchers. Right from the beginning, from the first scene, it is not a G-rated show. So no kids in the room.
She's a little salty.
She's a little salty. Yeah. Yeah, no kids in the room. And you know, I don't mind
selling point, though, you know?
I don't mind a good F-bomb, like, ever. I really don't. But this is not even that. This is other stuff. So, really, not for the G-rated crowd. But honestly, right. You guys, it's some good business.
It's not quite Deadwood, but it holds its own.
You're a scene.
Sweet.
So
no, I definitely I'll have to watch one now, because now I understand kind of what it's about, and it actually sounds a little intriguing. So I'll check it out.
It really is.
And I will report back.
Thank you. Please do. We cannot wait. Next Monday, I want to hear what you have to say. That's right.
Oh,
I put you on a timeline frame.
I know. I have homework. Damn it.
You have homework.
Right. They'll be like, why is Coach Jay late to soccer? And then he'll say, I was watching my shows, watching my sports.
He'll like come skipping from the parking lot, like putting on a little lipstick, like, oh, I got all caught up in my Mrs. Maisel. Exactly.
Yep, that will be a sight to see.
Awesome.
I like it.
Hey, but we also have Westworld coming up very, very, very soon in April, and we also have Handmaid's Tale. So if you guys are starting to gear up, trying to figure out what am I going to watch when all my network shows are starting to wind down, let me tell you, we've got some good stuff coming.
If you're listening to this and you have not joined Gilead Online on Facebook, I think you should. We don't really get into the politics of the show there, but we do talk about the filmmaking, the storytelling, the acting, all the other parts that make the show great.
Yeah, get on there, man. There's so many like conversations happening, getting ready for the show coming up. Exciting stuff.
I think we're about at 5,400 now.
Yeah, 5,400.
Yeah, and there is a link on somanyshows.com under, I think, the Partners tab where we listed some of the Facebook groups there, and that is one of them, I believe. So
check
pretty
it
easy
out.
To find.
Yeah.
So can I just ask you a quick question about you and your podcast real quick? I know we did a whole quiz devoted to you guys, but just because there's a lot of people that will listen to podcasts and are familiar with podcasts, but maybe not the creation of a podcast. When you watch a show, what for you guys, what goes into creating that podcast episode for you guys? What kind of prep are you doing? How long does it take? Can you give us an idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we usually do, we usually watch the show together typically, and we'll kind of talk out loud about, you know, scenes as they're happening. We'll be like, oh man, I didn't see that coming or whatever. I'll even call out things oftentimes, as will Paul, where we're like, oh, I see where this is going. And then we'll rewatch it. And typically on the rewatch, we're usually separate. So he might watch it at lunch at work, or I might watch it when the kids are busy. And we take a lot of notes, copious amounts of notes, friends. And then if there's something there, like say with The Leftovers or with Westworld, especially Handmaid's Tale too, we do a lot of research. So if I see a specific line in there that makes me think of something else, I'll go look. And then Paul, what do? We put all that stuff up on the big whiteboard.
Right. We come up with an outline of the order that we want to go in. That's not necessarily the chronological order of the story. It can be, but we've kind of gotten away from that format and tried to focus more on particular character arcs in every episode.
Makes sense. Right.
And try to see if there's like an overarching theme or recurring thought or something that's just defines this episode as being unique amongst the whole the whole season.
And we'll try to point out like connective threads, like This Is Us. There's been some really good parts where we could say, hey, do you remember like 3 episodes ago there was that scene, and like look at how much this reflects that same scene, or these other characters saying something really similar. And we try to bring it together for you so that, you know, if you're just watching it there by yourself, I think it's really hard to try to bring in some of those extras. And when we get to talk about it together, I think a lot, you can actually hear us on air a lot of times where we'll go, oh my god, I never thought of that, just because we will watch those shows separate and then come together with these ideas that we've come up with. So that's basically what we do. We really try hard to stay away from chronological. So
who misses more in the show? Who picks up on the finer details more often than not? Is that you or Paul?
I would say that it depends on what we're watching. If we're watching things that have to do a lot with like relationships or emotions and stuff, I would say I pick up. But if we're watching a technical show, like maybe we were doing the Orville, Paul would always pick up on all of the Star Trek or the sci-fi little extras or the little things having to do with the gadgets or stuff. He's way better at that department.
Nice.
Would you agree, Mr. Daly?
Yeah. It was, it was the sort of thing like Lost in particular had both of those kinds of things, right? And I could recall, remember 3 seasons ago when, you know, Miles went down into the hatch or whatever, and she would fill in the other part.
He's wearing that pink shirt again, and you know, whenever he wears that pink shirt, that happens. Like, you know, we'll remember very different details from a scene. So, yeah, we're a good balance that way.
I like it.
And we love all the listener feedback. We've got a great listener, Ellen, who like constantly talks to us about, she lives in a rural town in Maine, and she talks to us constantly about This Is Us. Like, she wants to go down every line we said in the podcast and discuss it like as if she's in the kitchen with us. And
that's
we
awesome.
Go back and forth with her. Like, we always
awesome.
Talk to her. So always can write into us.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, anything else on the podcast?
What? Well, how about you, Jay? What do you look for in a podcast? Do you look for certain types of podcasts or the way that they structure things?
You know, for me, because believe it or not, and I think I've said this on air before, you guys were the first podcast I've ever listened to in my entire life.
Oh, wow.
You're
a podcast virgin.
So you look for extreme quality. I mean, just like the really high-end shit.
Yes, yeah. It's the best or nothing at all.
Yeah.
You know, for me,
Cadillac.
For me, honestly, it was what's the word I'm looking for? It was almost like I wanted to almost clarify my own thoughts on what I thought about a show. Because it was Colony that I listened to you guys. I'm like, all right, let me check it out, whatever. And I think I remember feeling like, okay, they are confirming everything that I thought, and oh, I didn't even realize that. Oh, I'm picking up on more now. So it almost was like an addendum to the show. Like, I watched the episode and it's now confirmed what I maybe thought, but then also at the same time maybe opened my eyes to something I didn't consider or maybe see. So it was kind of like my after the episode kind of episode. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does make sense. And one of the things that Paul does a really great job with is he does a great job of reading a lot of the actors' interviews and a lot of the sort of behind the scenes of like how they filmed an episode or something. And so he oftentimes brings in that extra info that you couldn't have gotten just by watching the episode.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you guys are a big part of why the heck so many shows was ever created. You sucked me into all this TV stuff. Dang it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's wonderful. We love to be part of the Founding Fathers.
Before this, Jay just read a lot.
Right. Paul wears this little, like, sometimes
true.
Paul puts on this little powdered wig, and I have to call him, like, Paul Washington about it. It's funny.
Nice. Yeah, hey, you know, I look forward to that portrait for my it'll go right next to my
study.
The wall TV.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, I love it. All right, anything else podcast related we need to know about before we move on?
No, let's get into our shows.
Yeah. All right, interesting topic. Shows that could have, should have, maybe even shouldn't have, but it would have been fun to see, that we think should have, could have had a spinoff in our names and premise that we would have created for them if we had any kind of TV executive making decision.
All right.
Was this hard for you? Was this hard?
Yes.
Oh.
But I think I came up with a few good ones.
Well, I'm hoping so, because mine are just so-so. All right, go ahead.
Right.
You're up first.
First, I believe Willie from ALF really needed his own show. No, that's not a real one.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Right. Willie and Mrs. Achmonic run off together.
Wow. Awesome. You're going deep.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Let's start with a real one. Did you ever watch Big Love, Jay?
Big Love? No, that doesn't even actually ring a bell to me.
Yes.
It's an HBO show. The pitch was Bill Paxton has 3 wives. He lives in Utah. You kind of draw the conclusions
right?
And so it's his story trying to, you know, keep this family going and be prosperous and out in the public eye, because he owns a chain of like Home Depot kind of stores, right?
Gotcha.
Well, it ends kind of badly for Bill.
Oh.
And so the spinoff would be how the wives carry on after Bill, basically. So, uh-huh. You know, do they continue to stay together, or do they kind of go their separate ways, or what? Because they don't have Bill anymore, you know, binding them together. Because they're all very different women. It would star Jean Triplehorn and Chloe Sevigny, I've heard her name called, and Jennifer Goodwin. These are all very well-known actresses.
Yeah.
That have lots to do. So this show will never happen, but,
but it
would be interesting. All right, number two for me is Mad Men. There was one character that you could really spin off pretty easily at this point, the daughter, Sally Draper. If you had a show based on her kind of maybe in college or that phase of her life, the show started when she was a very little girl and it got to about young teenagehood, and she had to witness like her very philandering father and her totally disappoint her at one point in her life. And it really scars her basically toward men, life, adults, everything. And then she has her mother, who, with the end of the show, we believe she's not long for this earth. So she's going to have lost a parent and have this kind of absentee father and a very distant older stepfather. So that
and
would
like
make
a
kind
really
of
really awesome like time frame like that. That would have been like in the 60s, right? Like when the show would have ended.
Maybe early 70s, but yeah.
So that would have been a really cool time to see, like, a teenager going off to college and that kind of thing. Like, I would have enjoyed that show. I'd watch it. I'd be curious about her hijinks.
Yeah.
And then finally,
yes.
I would go with a show based on the Riggins brothers from Friday Night Lights.
Oh.
Tim and Billy Riggins, at the end of the show, still live in their hometown, and it's basically the end of the show is they show them building a house out in the country, but they're not exactly like, you know, perfectly good friends. They still have great big brawls and disagreements and all that kind of stuff. And I think it would be interesting to see where they're at, you know, 10 years later.
I love Friday Night Lights. I would have watched that. That would be like Saturday nights with the Riggins boys.
Saturday afternoon lights. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, right? Yeah. Saturday when the lights go out. Something like that. Because they'd be crazy boys to follow their hijinks, their dating life and whatnot. I'm sure it would be sordid.
Well, you know, Billy has the stripper wife.
Right. That's what I mean. It'd be sordid sitch.
At least two kids. Tim.
I think it would be good stuff. I'm with it.
Yeah. Well, those are my three.
Not too shabby, sir. Not too shabby. Hey, Caroline, before you get into yours, I need to warn you. I need to check two phone calls. So you guys are going to talk on your own for just a second, but I'll be right back.
Not a problem. Okay, I'm going to go ahead.
With it.
We have to talk to each other? What will we do, Paul?
Without some kind of moderator?
I don't know. We're so unaccustomed to dealing with one
another. Behave yourselves for just 60 seconds.
Not a problem. Well, hey, Paul. So I looked at my shows, and I was looking at, of course, some of my favorites. So I know I have some listeners out there who loved Gilmore Girls. And I really think that the character that most could spin off would have been Paris. And I know that it's not possible because Doyle went on to write Empire and did so many things, and that would have been her obvious, you know, guy in the scene. But I just think Paris would have had such an interesting life. We could have gone so many places with her and done so many things. Don't you think? She had, like, so many layers to her.
She was neurotic, but genius level, you know, smarts. And
yeah.
She had all this promise, and it's not that – being the director of a fertility center is like some sort of shitty job or something like that. But you watching her in high school and college, you would have thought, no, she's going to be like the editor of the Times or running for office or some position of like really superior responsibility. You know what I mean? And
completely.
Instead,
and I think that part of her that's like a restlessness that I think that she probably would have continued to run that fertility clinic, but then also like run for office and do like a million other jobs and start writing a newspaper on her own or something. So there was just so much there, so much material that I'm all over that one. How about this one that our children picked, Paul? You'll never guess. They thought an awesome spinoff would be from the Wonder Years.
Wonder Years?
Yeah. Do you remember how the Wonder Years actually ends? Do you remember like the very, very last scene?
The last scene? No.
Well, so in the very last scene, Kevin's son comes in and says, "Hey, Dad, let's go play catch." And they like head out to the yard to go play catch. And so definitely I felt like, you know what? I am kind of curious about Kevin's kids and who he married and what that whole life looked like. And I would be very wrapped up in their whole world. Because again, we would have been in that interesting time frame of like that would have been on like what the 70s to maybe even early 80s there we could hit, which would be spot on for all our nostalgic shows that are coming out right now.
Well, you know, Ben Savage, he came back for Girl Meets World, right? So why can't Fred Savage come back for, you know, the Wonder Years, the Deuce?
Wonder Years, the Deuce. Yes, exactly. I was going to call it the Deuce. I couldn't. You said it before I did. So, yeah. And then my last show was From the Middle, because you guys know this is the farewell season. And I just think that there is a whole storyline that could be followed with Sue Heck and her, what I think is going to end up being her husband, Sean Donahue. And I think that a new Donahue's with the Donahue's, as we know, being the in-laws and the Hecks being the other in-laws. I think there's hilarity to be had.
Well, and Sue has a perfect setup for a weekly show because her interests are kind of, they're not exactly flighty. It's just that she tries everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, she's a very Amelia Bedelia character. So it's like every time you could get her in like a whole different pickle that she gets into, and Sean being the level-headed one, you know, it's kind of a little set up, a little like Bewitched, a little bit like you've got this kind of like, you know, the wife who's kind of getting into mischief and the husband who's like the level-headed one, you know. I'm for it.
Sounds great. That's a good show.
Would it be renewed? Would you guys renew my show? What about you, Jay?
I'd give you 3 seasons.
You would? Thank you. I appreciate
you. I would.
Just as long as you didn't have the writing staff from that Goldberg spinoff.
Oh, my God. That was so bad. So bad.
That's the problem with spinoffs. Boy, they're either really pretty decent or they're really pretty terrible.
You have to have a really strong character, to carry on. I don't think the coach was the one to choose from the Goldbergs.
Right.
So
right.
Weird.
Or the principal or whatever it worked out being.
Yeah. Oh, and no, he's like the counselor turned principal. Just weird. Weird. Well, did you pick some shows, Jay, for us this evening?
I did, and all mine would have gotten at least 5 seasons and probably won a few Golden Globes among other awards, too.
Wow.
Because that's what kind of TV genius I am. The first one, because I always pick the A-team in every category I can. I'm going to take B.A. Baracus, Mr. T, out of the show, and I'm going to give him the B.A. Baracus talk show. It'll be an afternoon, like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, hour-long show. He'll bring on guests and end up punching them in the face, and the ratings will be spectacular.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Love
it. Tell me you wouldn't watch. Come on.
So watch. That sounds like an awesome, awesome Jerry Springer-esque situation.
It's all about the ratings. You bring in the people, you make the money.
Exactly.
From Colony, because obviously I have to put Colony in this list. Proxy Snyder needs his own show. And I lovingly entitled it, It's a Proxy World. We're just living in it. It will all be all about the escapades that we don't see from Mr. Alan Snyder on Colony because, well, he just should have his own show.
So would it be this time frame that we're in right now? Would it be like a like before the wall came down, or in the way future, or where would this be?
It probably has to be the future after he finishes his whole world domination thing and takes care of Broussard and gets rid of him, and Helena bows down to him. You know, it'll be all about his ultimate greatness.
So I'd not so much Helena... about you know, the time he spent at the college as like the assistant book buyer.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. You must have been watching.
I want Helena and Proxy together. Man, I want them to run off together.
Oh,
they have
Lord,
chemistry.
That's quite the pair. Yes, they do.
Chemistry.
They do. I had two others written down. Do you want the first one or the second one? What do you think?
Second one.
Second one. All right. I'm going to go with Sesame Street.
Ooh.
I'm going to take out Oscar the Grouch. And I'm not going to just give him his own spinoff. I decided that he needs his own network, the GNN, the Grouch Network News.
Oh my God.
It'll be 24 hours of him giving out the news the way it should be.
That sounds exactly like something you would watch. Like you would love that.
I would love that. I would.
He would call
that
everyone
would be on my TV all the time.
And all
right,
that.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
He'd be like up for the next knucklehead story, and then he'd like bring him out. Yeah. That sounds exactly right on. Right, P?
You get it.
Right.
That's why I like you.
We get it. We totally get it. Oh my gosh.
And
well,
Tracy,
are you guys
just
ready
messaged,
for?
She wants a.
Oh.
Hold on. Yeah. She wants a Breaking Bad spinoff, just to throw that out there. Breaking
there
Bad.
Is
she wants to know what happened to Jesse.
Yeah.
I would also want to see more of Jesse. Jesse, you know, just drives off, finally, you know, safe and kind of redeemed. But that's all we get, you know, and he's a guy that could easily fall into trouble again. Or because he doesn't even know what going straight looks like. You know what I mean?
Jay, did you watch Better Off Saul, or are you watching it?
I have not. I did watch Breaking Bad, and then because, again, like, I'm actually really not much of a spinoff guy. I tend to stay away from them. I just never, I didn't even try it.
Well, the word is that we might get some Jesse Pinkman in the next season of Better Call Saul. They've only kind of double dipped with some of the villains up to now, but not like Walter White, obviously, or Jesse yet.
All right, guess we'll see. Now,
the
thought
pacing
about it.
Is
I just,
totally
I
different, though. It's not as. There are you have to watch every episode, but there are some episodes that don't give you that must watch feeling as you're watching them. Yeah, so it's a different kind of thing.
Gotcha.
The tension is completely different. So.
Yeah, it happens. It's a different show.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you with Tracy's little thing there. What were you saying, Caroline? Go ahead.
Oh my goodness! I was going to say, are you guys ready to play a game?
Oh, the tides have turned. You're hosting a game this time around? Oh.
I'm going to host a game this time. And you spent so much time lovingly choosing something for Paul and I, doing your research, that I thought I should do the same for you.
Oh, God.
So
God.
I called Amy and Libby, and they're going to be on the line as your phone-a-friend. No, I'm completely jacking with you. No. Because we all agreed that we want to play games that you guys at home could totally play with us. So... we are going to be dealing with the best show on television from Jay's point of view. What would that be, Mr. Daly?
I love
Do
me
you recognize
some
this? Yeah.
I
Does it feel like this is your life? Where I'm like, this is your life, Jay. And your people start walking out right now.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Too funny. Okay,
too funny.
So you are going to play up against Paul, who is not the same professional level A-team lover that you are. However, he does enjoy good TV. So, Paul, how do you feel going up against this powerhouse?
I feel strong. I feel good. I feel totally, you know, like the Patriots versus the Bears on this.
You're totally ready, huh? Oh, my God. Well, and all of our Twitter friends, I very much, you know, encourage you guys to get up on Twitter. And if you have an answer for us, you very much want to see it. All right.
No,
are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just going to have to go with you guys probably, you know, saying your name or however you'd like to ring in. If you have like a special honk honk sound you'd like to make, feel free. Whatever is your indicator.
Can I just do I pity the fool?
Oh, my God, please pity the fool at every turn, okay? Paul, do you have any kind of catchphrase you would like to squeal out?
I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh, good choice, good choice. I'm so proud of you, Paul. I'm so proud of you.
Oh,
this game
Bailey.
Is a success already.
Oh, my God. Okay, ready? How come the A-team was running from the military?
Jay, or I pity the fool. They were accused of a crime that they didn't commit in Vietnam. I think it was stealing money. I'm pretty sure it was stealing money in Vietnam.
I love it. I will give you the point for that. They were framed for a crime they did not commit. That was the answer. Nice work,
what?
Mr. Jay. Paul, you didn't know that? Or you just didn't ring in fast?
No, it's right there in the preamble to the show.
I didn't know. Oh, my God. You guys. Well, next time, Paul, you got to be a little quicker, okay?
I do.
Okay, ready? All right.
Yeah.
How many people played the role of Lieutenant Templeton, quote-unquote, Faith
Peck? Oh, Jay.
Jay.
Two. One guy originally in the pilot, Templeton. Peck was then played by Dirk Benedict the remainder of the time. Boom, put the point
you
down.
You are correct. You are correct, sir. Oh, Paulo.
I had no idea.
The family.
I had no idea. I thought Dirk Benedict was always in that role.
Not in the pilot.
Nice try,
you
Paul.
You got to step up
nice
your A-team game, Paul. What's up?
Come on,
what's up?
Paul. You're,
put
right
your
now you're playing
on.
The B-team, not the A-team. Come on. All right, ready? Okay, so question number three. What is Lieutenant Colonel Blank Hannibal Smith's first name?
Oh, that's too easy. I'll give you a chance. Go ahead, Paul. Come on, man. It's easy.
You know it, Paul?
Come on, Paul.
What's Hannibal's first name?
I must have missed that one. They never call him anything besides Hannibal.
Oh, Paul.
It rhymes with Don.
Is it John?
It is John.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Right. I'm going to give you a 0.3 for that point. 0.3. Not 3 points, 0.3 of a point for that one, okay? All right, Polly,
okay.
You ready?
I get it.
Okay, ready? Okay. Number four. What does the HM stand for in Captain H.M. Murdoch?
Too easy.
Paul
easy.
Daly?
Too easy.
I don't know.
All right, Jay, what
howling
is it?
Mad.
Howling Mad. You got to think about Jay. What is he? Howling Mad. That's right.
Right.
Well,
right.
Murdoch was crazy, so that was his deal. So, yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Jay, you're cleaning up so far. We've got 3 points to 0.3 for Paul. We're going to hang in there, Paul, though. Don't freak out. Ready? Okay. What is B.A. Baracus afraid of?
Flying.
Oh. There you go. Give
nice.
Him the point. Give him the point.
All right. 1.3 points for Paul to 3 points for Jay. All right, ready? This is number – oh, see, this one, just let's see. Paul, if you don't get it, we're all going to frown at you. Okay, ready? What is Hannibal's favorite saying?
I love it when a plan comes together. I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh! You did say it first, Paul. You did say it first. Jay, you got to quit your snickering and get in here. You're going to get trumped.
I'm too busy laughing. It's
so embarrassing. Okay. All right. So
no, I can't lose
okay,
this.
Ready?
This is my show. This is my show.
All right, come on, ready? All right, what color is Face's Corvette?
White and red.
Polka dot?
White with a red stripe.
There you go. I'll take that.
Wow.
Jay gets 4 points. Paul, you're sad. You have to sleep on the couch.
They moved around so much. I didn't know that they kept their personal vehicles along with the van.
Oh, dude, he always had his Corvette around somewhere.
How is that possible? How did he do it, Jay? How did he always have it?
Magic. Oh. He's a con man. He could pull off anything.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that was Face's deal. He wasn't really like the karate guy. He was the guy who could pretend to be anybody else.
Well, okay. I see how much I'm learning, you guys. Okay, number 8. Okay, ready? Who plays Murdoch?
Oh, Dwight come Schultz. On. Too easy.
You said, come too on. Easy. You didn't say the answer. Paul
too
said,
easy.
Dwight Schultz. Damn it.
That's all right. He can have it. He can have
good
it. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, I don't want to alarm you, but he is 3.3 points, and you are 4 points. So you might just want to
okay.
go ahead and mop the field with him on his last
all
two.
Right. I won't be nice
all
anymore.
All right, ready? Okay.
Yes.
What year did A-Team debut?
1983.
Ta-da! Jay got it right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Does it? Okay. This is my last question. Are you ready? And I apologize that these apparently were not the ball busters I intended them to be. But are you ready? What does the real BA stand for in BA Baracus?
Oh, come on. Too
easy. Well, hit
too
it. Go
easy.
On. What
bad
is it?
Attitude. Get out of here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's not the first answer. Bad attitude.
That's not the first answer.
No, bad attitude was like also known as bad attitude, but there's a main answer to this. Paul, this is your chance.
No, I have no idea. I mean, if it's not BA.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to give you a hint, Paul. It is George Costanza's ATM password is the B.
Bosco.
Bosco, correct. And the second one would be the first name of the actor who played Daddy Warbucks.
Albert?
Uh-huh, Bosco Albert! Yeah,
that's
apparently what
I think. I think we give that to Jay, though. I mean,
but it also stands for bad attitude. And I think if A-Team was on today, it would be badass for sure, right?
Sure.
For sure. Right. For sure. Well, that was our A-Team game, Jay, and you totally cleaned up. With I will give you 5, and I'll give you 0.5 for that last one. Woo!
I love me some A-Team. We can do that game
awesome.
Every night.
I know. Well, now
night.
I know I'm going to have to start saying, like, what color underwear did Mr. T wear? And then you're going to have to really dig deep.
I got it all, except for Bosco Albert bullshit.
Bosco Albert. That was the answer. That is the answer. See, now, but here's the important part. At the end of any game, you want to leave knowing more. So I gave you that little nugget of knowledge. So
that is true.
That's what we do
at
SMS.
I love it.
We always want to make sure you leave knowing more every time. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, you guys want to take a call real quick?
Absolutely. Is it Mr. T?
It could be. Bad attitude. Hey, you're on the air. Who's this? Oh, it is Mr. T.
Oh, my God. Bosco Albert, is that you?
I don't know Bosco Albert. It's bad attitude. Listen,
bad attitude.
See?
We were being fair. I understand Jay controls the board on this show, but if we were being fair, Jay should have muted himself about 15 minutes ago. And the audio was to complete playing the game.
No way.
You are right. You are right.
No,
that
it's the A-Team, dude. No, hold up. Like, question 3 and 4, I was totally silent and was like, go ahead, Paul. I'll wait for you. For
that's
real.
That's true.
Okay,
you
no
you
way.
Were, like, ladies first. You were totally ladies first.
Right. Somebody sounds better.
Paul's over in the
phone.
Corner bleeding. He's bleeding in all daisy. He looks like Apollo Creed at the end of fighting the Russians, and you're sitting there doing laps. You should have muted yourself. I think that's only fair. I'm just saying. The goose and the gander
should
not be
better.
The same.
Well,
you're
the next
better.
Time, Mike, we'll have to get you on the line for a third guy on this. Next host, we will.
A-Team, I would have done worse than Paul on A-Team, but yeah.
Worse than Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, is this the new standard? Did you do as bad as Paul will say? Poor
would
Paul.
You also,
he was. Go ahead, Paul.
Would you also say that I look like Rocky after fighting Clubber Lang?
Sure. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
In my head, Jay is wearing 15 different gold chains around his neck right now.
I only assume.
In a perfect world. Absolutely.
It's 19, thank you, 19.
I needed to set the record straight on favoritism and, you know, muting in these trivia games.
Hey, you know what I have to say about that? You know what I have to say about that? You know what this button is?
I think you're going to get hung up on in a second.
I think I'm about to get disconnected.
My gut
says it's called a red X.
We should say bye quickly.
Oh,
goodbye, goodbye, Mike, goodbye.
He hung up.
I felt like the Munchkins at the end of Wizard of Oz. I'm like, goodbye, 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 Mike.
Somebody was bitter. I don't know what his problem is.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well. Mm-mm. Good game. It's a good game.
Good.
Thanks
Glad
for playing
you
with me,
it.
Paul. I like it.
And we're going to play a different type of game in the future where we have to go round robin, and it won't be a call, like a who says it first kind of thing. So we're going to mess with you guys all so everybody can play.
Oh.
I know. Look forward to it. Mark your calendars, peeps.
Yeah. All right, let's switch gears a little bit because we only have a few minutes left. But let's talk about TV festivals, cons, get-togethers, that kind of stuff. You guys want to chat about that for a few minutes before we wrap this puppy up?
Yeah, sure. We've gone to a few different events. The biggest one that we've been to is one called the ATX Festival, held in Austin. It is a festival completely dedicated to television. They don't talk about movies. They don't talk about music. They don't, you know, it's not any of those other things. It's just TV. This year
and
it's going to be held.
And better than that, it's all grown-ups. They call it the TV camp for grown-ups, so there's no little ankle biters either.
Right. They discourage you from bringing your kids, actually.
No ankle biters.
Wow. It's going to be June 7th through the 10th this year. Downtown Austin, they use several theaters. Like there's a Alamo Draft House, there's a State Theater, there's a few other theaters all downtown there. They all use for screening purposes. And it's all, what is it, the Stephen F. Austin Hotel is usually like the hub of the whole thing. And the yes, Caroline.
Well, they also have this great like outdoor event usually. So like for like the 1 year, they actually took us to the field where they filmed Friday Night Lights, and they did they showed episodes from Friday Night Lights on the field that they filmed it on. So I mean,
oh,
that was
that's
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah,
and then
of course a bunch of the actors came popping out, and so we got to see Landry and Grandma and everybody, and it was wonderful. It was awesome.
Tammy Taylor.
And then like last year they had a Parks and Rec area. They brought Lil Sebastian to this little thing. He's like the little pony horse. So Lil Sebastian was there and you could take a picture with Lil Sebastian. So they get weird with their stuff in a good freaky kind of way.
So they're still building their programming for this year's event. Right now we know that there's going to be a 30-something reunion with Ken Olin and Timothy Busfield and some of the other the actors / creatives that were on the show. There's also going to be a Nash Bridges reunion, or Nash Bridges writer's room reunion, which will include one Carlton Cuse, who we know as the co-showrunner for Colony. Yes.
We're going to try real hard. These panels are set up so approachably that like it's like sort of like a college classroom where like they all do their talk and everything. But at the end, you can just walk right up and chit chat with them. And in the past, we've talked with Damon Lindelof and Ryan Condal and who else follow? So many others.
We got a picture with Chris Eccleston, which if you are a nerd, you know that this guy's Doctor Who, and he could charge $200 for a photo at a nerd festival.
And instead,
we
have all these ones where we're like hugging in his armpits. Where both of our heads are like in his armpits in these photos. It's awesome. But they're willing to sit and talk with you. Like we asked Ryan Condal, like, hey, what should we read for books or watch for movies to inform us for the next Colony season? And he was all about telling us ideas. So it's really, really cool.
I need to go.
You need
to
come.
Yeah.
It's so fun. And it's so, I mean, like last year we saw the pilot for Ghosted. We saw the pilot for Snowfall. We saw the pilot for, and like the director was there. John Singleton was there. All these people were there. Like, it was great.
That's
and
right.
Was,
Boys
like,
in the Hood, John Singleton.
Yeah, he was there. He
is
was
this,
so small.
Is this a,
one-day,
two-day, three-day thing? What is this? How long is this?
Starts on Thursday, ends on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, so it is
and
like
in the evenings,
a typical kind of con thing. All right.
Yeah. It is in one way, but in another way, it's so intimate. Like, you get to know other people's names. We ended up standing in line with so many people that we recognized from previous years, and we chatted with so many people that, I mean, I don't know. I can't explain to you when I say they call it TV camp for grown-ups. It feels like you're going to summer camp. Like, you're like,
that's
and
awesome.
All of you talk about TV all the time, too. It's wonderful. And we're not getting paid or anything to even tell you about this.
We also
not
got to see, like, the, what was it, the pilot for Room 10, whatever it is on HBO.
104.
Yeah, 101.
Yeah, 104.
104, yeah.
With the
ooh,
creatives
so
behind it. Got to see the premiere for a show called Louder Milk that was on the it's either DirecTV or AT&T network. I think that's the same thing now. But that stars Ron Livingston, which you recognize from Office Space, right? And
he was so skinny in real life, so tiny.
We also got to see what is it the it was the premiere of that the show with the guy from That Thing You Do.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. It's hard to explain, but it's a comedy, and I don't think it made it. But it was a really good one. It was the guy who plays Shades. Do you remember Shades from That Thing You Do? Do you remember him,
the drummer.
Jay? The drummer plays Shades. Somebody's
no.
yelling out there on Twitter. I can hear them saying, you
yeah,
know who it is, you jerks.
On the last
yeah.
day, though,
probably Mike.
they brought the whole cast of Fear the Walking Dead, like all of them. Except
oh, wow.
for Travis. But they had, what was it, Strand
Madison,
and Madison and Alicia and a couple others that all were there to answer questions. If you watch Preacher, they had the whole Preacher cast there 2 years ago, including like Ruth Negga, who was like up for an Oscar that year. So,
yeah,
you know,
they did a whole thing about like women directors, and there was like Kira Sedgwick was there, and there's tons
Mary
of
McDonald.
People you would know. Mary McDonald, yeah, all these people you would know, and they're like literally like five seats from you, just chit chatting it up, ask whatever questions you want.
That's
they're
really
totally
cool.
there to like offer mentoring. It's really neat, really cool.
Have you
I
seen
want
that?
Talk
that have you seen that picture with me and Edward James Olmos on my Facebook page? It's like my banner
yes.
picture. That was taken just at ATX. Just he was getting ready to go, and Caroline's like, "Now's your moment."
And he was like, "I love you." He was like, "Come
wow.
here, you." Yep, and he just gave him a big old hug. It was very sweet. So, yeah. So I highly recommend that. Other TV festivals that we have attended is the Gilmore Girls Festival up in your neck of the woods, Jay. It's actually in Connecticut, but we'll pretend that's your neck of the woods. In theory,
it's close.
To
only
you
a couple
us.
Hours.
It's in a part yes. of the country we call Ain't Texas.
There you go. The North
true story.
Is what we call you. The
right.
North. When I say the Northeast, people are like, huh now? It's just the North. So you guys get to go see that stuff in October, which we love to see. We've gone twice now. Again, super access to all of the celebrity people and lots of access to the writers and all of the different people that are part of that show. And it's still going on. It has picked up so much steam that the first year they were able to kind of fly under the radar and play like Gilmore Girls episodes and do all this kind of stuff. And this past year, awkwardly...
Yeah, they got a notice from Warner Brothers saying you can't play Gilmore Girls episodes for a crowd. So
crazy.
They had multiple episodes planned for people just to be able to sit and pass the time and talk to other fans, and instead they had to show was it The Wizard of Oz or
yes, it was ridiculous.
Weird.
But...
weird.
Well, if you guys go to TV festivals out there and you, please tell us on so many shows on air or so many shows.com or any of these places
yeah.
because we are always looking for a TV festival to hit up and love, love, love to find out where friends of ours are going.
Well, there's one coming up called Paley Fest in LA next week or the week after that. great shows, including The Orville, Will and Grace, Handmaid's Tale, Supernatural, Big Bang Theory, plus Young Sheldon, The Good Doctor, and Stranger Things are all going to have screening / question and answer periods with the stars and creatives. But you got to be in LA to go to that one.
Dude, there's going to be this awesome thing at South by Southwest in Austin. They're recreating Westworld. You can't
that
actually have sex with any of
ever.
The robots. Here's the problem. You have to have a pass to South by Southwest.
Yep.
And I think the cheapest one was like $1,600. I signed us up for the Westworld thing, for that part, and I had to check the box that said, yeah, we have tickets, and just hope between now and then something crazy happens and just a badge falls in our lap. So we shall see. But we have passes into that Westworld exhibit if it happens, so we shall see.
That's way cool. Yeah, that's supposed to be awesome. And the whole thing, you're supposed to talk to, you know, whoever's playing the cast in that little world. They'll give you hints and tips and tricks about the upcoming season.
Can you imagine? Oh, I love immersive stuff like that. So cool.
Yeah, no, that's way cool.
And then from a grassroots level, we're part of a group of people that loved The Leftovers so much that they're actually going to come to Texas, where they filmed the second season and part of the third season, and just to see the sites, because they're all accessible and easily.
They're
going to
rent like a school bus and just like drive all around. The Lefties are going to drive. We said we'll be there. We will be there. You let us know, because we've been to all these sites, so we're going to help them learn the lay of the land a little bit. And I know
so
your Bravers are doing stuff, yeah. Right, Jay? The Bravers are doing a bunch of stuff. Lauren was telling us.
God, yeah, they've got meetups. They're planning across the country.
Amazing.
May 19th is the big day, but yeah, they're putting all kinds of crazy stuff together, which is, it's unheard of. That Brave fandom is top notch, 100% for sure.
Well, good for you, Brave fans. That's the kind of stuff that gets these shows back on the air and gets
it
the attention.
Sure is.
Absolutely. I know it's because the Gilmore Girls had a reunion at ATX, and those Netflix people saw the outpouring of fans that they went ahead and greenlit that revival. So don't underestimate fan power.
That's
it can happen.
Right.
Push
That's
it through,
right.
guys.
All right, listen, before we wrap this puppy up, I brought up a topic that was supposed to be discussed yesterday, and then they said maybe today, and I know we're at the end, but I need to bring it up so that way I don't keep promising it online. How much do you guys know about quantum physics and quantum mechanics?
Oh, so much. I could talk for an hour.
I mean, I lecture on it every other...
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay.
You haven't seen the Daily's DVD, How to Deal with Quantum Physics and Other Things?
Yeah, Carolyn will be like, where's the last time you saw, you know, like the remote control? And I'll be like, well, in an alternate universe, it's on the table.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I was trying
to
figure out how I could discuss this in the TV realm. And so I came up with this. There is I don't know if it's a theory. I don't know if that's the best way to describe it. I guess a theory. But here's a question when we're talking about quantum physics and quantum mechanics. If a TV show is 60 minutes long, right? Typical TV show, 60 minutes long with commercials, right?
Okay.
If you're doing a countdown, when it reaches zero, the show should be over, correct?
Okay.
Right? You with me so far?
Yes, Paul. Are you listening? Paul's here.
They said there wouldn't be
math. Exactly.
So there is a theory in quantum mechanics that says, ultimately, that show never, ever, ever ends. It's not possible for it to end. It continues on forever. It is called the theory of infinite halves. Have you ever heard of this?
Okay. Let's pretend we have. Infinitely, I have.
Yeah, and you agree with it, right? Right?
Oh, sure.
So here's the theory. If you have a 60-minute show and you cut that time in half, you get to the halfway point, that would be 30 minutes, right?
Okay.
You cut it in half again, you're now at 15 minutes. If you cut it in half again, you're at 7.5 minutes. If you cut it in half again, you're at 3.75, right? And you can keep cutting in half, cutting in half, cutting in half, cutting in half, cutting in half. So the question is, if you keep cutting that time in half, will it ever reach zero?
No.
it will never reach zero. So technically, that show will never, ever end.
Freaky.
And that's your
it's
lesson
like this
on
episode.
Right. That is your lesson in quantum mechanics for tonight. Congratulations. And that's because Heidi kept yelling at me for not bringing it up the last two. And she just yelled at me for not bringing up Quantum Leap because I'm talking quantum stuff. But hey, there you go.
Heidi,
that's why TV
thank
show
you for
never
always
really ends.
Elevating the level of discussion. We appreciate it.
But it begs the question, I mean, like, does the show ever actually truly start?
Right. See, we could really get into this.
I've got and one. Then, is a show ever really shown if no one's watching it? What?
Does it really air? I have no
idea.
We don't
know. Oh, my
and
God.
Tomorrow,
well, it's up to us to watch all the shows.
Yeah.
Make sure
that's
they're
right.
seen.
Oh God! And we'll get into the molecular level of these TV shows tomorrow, and then I'm not sure what we'll do the day after. So yeah,
who's coming on with you tomorrow? You got Pete and Heidi, right?
That would be correct. That would be correct. Awesome. We would have Pete and Heidi. I don't know why she's bugging me about quantum stuff. We could have talked about it tomorrow. So now I'm gonna have to come up with something even harder to discuss with her tomorrow night.
I think Pete would really enjoy some quantum physics talk. I mean, I think he'd really like that.
You think so?
I think
yeah.
So. That sounds like Pete.
Yeah, I can
awesome.
I can see a few choice words coming out of his mouth that that might
that
not
you,
be in support of that.
That you rarely hear in the lab.
Right. Oh, dear Lord. All right. Well, hey, another fantastic episode. SomeManyShows.com. Make sure you check us out there. Get to voting on the shows that you think should be renewed because that ends in, I don't know, 2 or 3 days. Check out all the different podcast articles, reviews, all that good stuff. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, da-da-da-da-da. My wonderful co-hosts, Paul and Caroline Daly. You can find them at dailyreview.com. That's D-A-L-E-Y, review.com. You guys
Thanks
are awesome
so much
as always.
Thanks for listening, guys. Thank you.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For having us.
Yeah.
See you next Monday.
That's right. We are out of here. Scream goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye now. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye now. Goodbye.